You are now listening to Lost and Rewound on Radio Free Brooklyn. RFB is brought to you by fans and listeners alike who pledge as little as $1 per month to ensure we stay on the air. Our show is supported by you and will remain supported if and only if you pledge a few dollars right now.
Please visit RadioFreeBrooklyn.com/pledge to learn more. Once there, you will see there are sweet perks for all donation levels. The larger the donation, the cooler the gift. And even for the most nominal of donations, there's plenty of Radio Free Brooklyn swag to be gotten.
So again, that address is RadioFreeBrooklyn.com/pledge. And you can sponsor our show specifically at RadioFreeBrooklyn.com/LAR. And now, it's time to get embarrassed with us. Host Jimmy Hoffman. It may be wondering, as you just hear one singular silky smooth voice, where is your other esteemed host, Alon Danziger? Well, that man you'd find is across the Atlantic, all the way in merry old England. But due to the powers of technology, we've brought him all the way here into the studio right here in Brooklyn, New York. So welcome.
Cheerio.
Oh my God, he's been infected.
That is the last you're going to get a stereotypical British script from me.
Not from me, though, I'll tell you.
This is so cool that I could do this while in England, of all places. Who's the guest that you have? You told me, but I don't know who this person is.
So there's actually another person here in the studio. We've gotten you a replacement. She's not as hairy as you are. So
good.
The Robin Williams effect is not, you know, purveying in everybody that we bring in. But she's actually a great friend of mine. She went to high school with me, actually, of all things, in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. I'd like to extend a warm welcome to Miss Kesley Heighton. Welcome.
Hey guys, what's up?
Hi Kesley.
Hello.
So how are you on this fine day?
I'm good. I'm a little hungover. But it's okay.
It is okay. We'll make it through.
You're still living in Brooklyn now, Kesley?
I was actually living in Denver for 6 years, and I just recently moved back. So I'm living with my mom in Brooklyn, in Clinton Hill. So it's interesting.
This must be such a change, being in a high place and now coming back to sea level.
Yeah, I can definitely drink more, I'll tell you that much. I don't know if that's good or bad.
Well, I mean, for some reason, I guess I'm just a baseball guy. I'm always like, you got to get up there, hit all them home runs. You don't know. Go up to Colorado. You know, that's where the air is thin.
Yeah, man.
Work out your swing.
Way more oxygen down here. It's way better.
What made you move to Denver in the first place?
School. Yeah, I went to...
What did you study at school?
I studied anthropology.
That's a good place to do it.
It is. It's great. I loved it. I graduated with a degree in anthropology, and I am going to go and save all the orangutans. So that's what I'm going to do with my degree.
I think it's a noble pursuit.
Thank you.
For the grandfather of the rainforest. Is that what they call him? That's like the nickname for orangutans?
Oh, yeah.
Old man of the forest or something like that?
Yeah, probably person of the forest. It's like what orangutan means, literally. Yeah.
They're pretty dope.
They're pretty cute. I can't not.
So when you are choosing an animal to save, do you choose the cutest one? Is that the idea?
That's tough.
Because there are certain people who will go out of their way to choose one that's ugly, for instance, and they say, nobody's going to save this one.
I don't know. There was something just called me to orangutans, and I wanted to save all of them. And all of the
koalas. Koalas are cute, but they're just super nasty, and they'll totally fuck your shit up.
Yeah.
I mean, orangutans, I've never heard of one messing somebody up.
Exactly. They just want to, like,
about orangutans, but I'm talking about koalas.
Let's talk about koalas now, man. You know, they seem friendly, but when they're hugging on your back, that's a chokehold.
They got real big.
Baboons are probably a little more vicious than orangutans, aren't they?
Oh, for sure.
Baboons terrify me.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. I don't want to even get close to a baboon, nor look at its butt.
No, anything that has a canine bigger than mine, I'm okay. I'm good. Yeah. I'm going to leave that alone.
If you're looking at a butt, whatever. If you're looking at its kid's butt, forget about it.
We got problems.
You're a goner, exactly. You got to be like 50 miles away from that zoo ASAP.
Well, I'll tell you, when you think back to childhood, you'll have very selective memories. Mm-hmm. So I definitely have memories of the zoo. I feel like any kid that went to the zoo or went to the circus will like have a certain thing that stuck out to them, that image. And I have two animals that I always really remember. And did I ever talk about the beluga whale thing on the show before, Alon? You would know. I wouldn't know.
Go on.
So there's one is a beluga whale and one is baboons. I'll tell the baboon thing quickly is just that. I always used to think, why do people keep throwing their bubble gum in the enclosure? Because the baboons keep sitting in it, and for some reason, their butts are adhesive. So we gotta do something about this, because there's a lot of gum in the world, but like it's really affecting these baboons.
It's just all of the bubble gum is on their butts.
It's right on their butts. So
what about the whale?
So the thing with the whale, and this is something that continues into today. I'm not a man of many fears. I wouldn't call myself...
Are you afraid of beluga whales?
No, I'm afraid of the sea. So you know how they have in the aquarium sometimes? Mm-hmm. There's like a porthole and you can like look into the thing. Yes. And that's like just a part of their enclosure. And they've got like mm-hmm. a big open window to the tank. But like this is the little side window.
Yeah.
And you look in and then they don't like decorate it. So it's just blue. Right, so you look in, and if you don't see the animal, you don't see anything.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you're like, oh my God, like, where is it? And you're like pressing your nose in, trying to see it. Oh, no. And I guess the beluga whale's like, no, people do this. Oh, and trying to say, he seemed like he was trying to say hi. He seemed very friendly, and they have such a weird face.
Yeah.
So he swam up like right in front of the porthole, and his face came up into the porthole, and he was like inches away from me.
Yeah.
And he's like, and I just lost it.
You were like, nope.
Yeah, I flipped out, and I apparently, I started screaming. I was like 4 years old or 5 years old.
Oh, you're so scared.
What does middle school age Kesley like to go to see when she goes to the zoo versus late 20s Kesley?
I was definitely all about like the lions and tigers then. And now I just, it's a straight shoot for the primates.
Yeah, well, she's gotten around.
And elephants.
True.
Well, the elephants.
You got to make sure you see them before they're not going to be there anymore.
African elephants, I think, are my favorite.
So you're more interested in checking out the elephants as a sort of a case study for the way that they are more or less de-evolving in some respects.
De-evolving?
No, that's the wrong word. The way that they're being threatened.
De-evolving. What would they de-evolve into? That'd be so weird.
I don't know.
A pile of mush. Elephant mush.
Donald Trump. They would do... No, but...
Give me more peanuts.
They basically, they're being threatened out of existence.
There's
something really special about them.
There is, yeah. That's why, yeah, I'm really interested in saving orangutans and elephants because of the amount of poaching that is happening to them. So I just getting into conservation and preservation and maybe taking the side of law for that. I don't know. That's a far reach.
Well, if you get into... if you get into like legislation as far as like don't chop down these rainforests
lobbyists, sort of thing.
Yeah. There's all different ways they could help. Yeah.
I'll most likely probably work for like a non-profit organization.
It depends on how much you know you want to be like, you know, smelling the actual orangutan. If it's too stinky.
I'm going to take them to orangutan school, teach them how to orangutan, man. It's going to be awesome.
Wait. They're going to teach them to do what?
So there's an organization in Indonesia, and what it does is it rescues orangutans who have been exotic pets, and they take them to the sanctuary, and you have to teach them how to be orangutans again because they've never lived out in the wild. So that's what I want to do. I want to help them learn how to be orangutans again in the wild.
Banana peeling 101.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you learn how to climb trees. First you do this peel,
and then you do this peel.
Do you have any travel plans coming up that fits into this desire?
Man, no, there's a sanctuary in Florida that will help me gain the experience that I need to go to Indonesia, and then that's pretty much it. So unless I get a job at a zoo where they have orangutans, then it's going to be Florida and Indonesia. Maybe Africa at some point when I'm
There's five zoos in New York.
There, yeah.
You get a rocking.
They could have a ranch.
Five zoos in New York.
I don't drive manual transmission very well, but I want to switch gears because I was told that you have a tape, and I'm wondering if maybe more questions could be answered with the content of this so-called tape that you have. For the record, I hear that it's actually more video than it is audio, but that the audio is the more dominant of the features to this.
Yeah, it's definitely about what was being said. And yeah, so this is one of the few times where the fresh ears is you, Ilan. And I'm the one who knows the clips. I'm the holder of clips now.
It's okay, dude. It's my how the tables have turned.
Yes, all it took was you being on the other side of an ocean for me to gain this power.
What have we done?
All right, so let's make this happen. So this is the very first clip we're going to play. Is 9 years old.
Okay.
Throw it on.
So it was a beer commercial shot in my living room, I guess. And I guess I woke up one morning and I came out to, you know, like I came out of my room and up into my living room, and there was like, it was all of our furniture was gone, and there was a new set, new living room, and I was like, oh yeah, there's a beer commercial being shot in my house. And then so, you know, I went outside, we got free food, and it was great. It was good. And it aired. It was like a Christmas special for the beer, so. And I think I saw it air like 5 times, and that was it. But it was still cool having all these people film and stuff and see a living room that's completely not mine and different and have people in it. So I think this is me like walking around, like checking it out.
I'm hoping that the audio truly is the most dominant of it. But I take the word of Jimmy that video is not as important as the audio.
There's literally one moment where the video is cool, where you just could see the set for like a second, and then. But it only is cool because I knew what their apartment looked like. Otherwise, it just looks like it's Christmas time.
Yeah. And it was like the middle of summer.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
So I
get up and it's the middle of summer.
That's the only thing is that you look at it and I go, oh look, there's like stockings by the fireplace.
Yeah.
Basically.
All right. Let's hear it.
All right, guys. Let's take a listen.
I think I'm recording. I don't know. What am I doing? Yeah, you are. Oh, so turn
Look
around
at
and talk.
This delicious breakfast that I got. Look at this. We have cinnamon.
All right, just don't, you know, go crazy. So talk about what your experience is with this. How do you feel about this, Kesley Hayden? They're filming a national
Heineken commercial. I'm good with this. I'm content.
How about you, Olivia?
I'm happy.
That's very good. Oh, look, and there's
turn
Claudia.
Turn it up a little bit.
There's Claudia. Say hi to the camera, Claudia. Oh, it's not where we're not posing. We're filming you, actually.
Oh, you are?
Yes, we're filming this extravaganza. Yeah.
Well, go get the chef. Go get the chef.
All right, you go stand over the chef and say something about the chef. All right, this is the chef. Kesley wants me to film the chef. This is the chef that made breakfast for us. Say hi, chef.
Hi, chef.
Hello.
This is for my daughter's film. Here's Claudia again. Hi, Claudia.
This is so much fun.
Yes, isn't it fun? All right, here, kids. Here's your camera.
Oh, my God.
Turn this thing off now.
We don't sit all week.
Chef and sake.
What do you think about the free food?
What do I think? Very convention.
I guess free food eats one food.
Excuse me.
No,
free food. I put this on camera. He gets free food and he's eating fucking cereal.
I ordered a waffle.
She got waffle. He got waffle.
Free eating.
One. Where is this taking place again?
The video that I guess me and my mom recorded is taking place in our front yard and the street right in front of our house, where this film crew set up trailers and there was a chef with like a food truck.
Sure, like craft services.
Mm-hmm, yeah, exactly. So this is all being like filmed like right on the street right in front of my house.
And you had been at your house while this whole filming was going on, or so you didn't have actually any part of the filming. What this was you sort of.
She still lives there, and then craft services, you know, was like, "We'll feed your family because we're using your house all day."
Yeah. I don't know how.
She's going around asking her friends. how they feel about getting free food.
I brought all of my friends over because I was like, yo, there's free food at my house.
So it's just like all
from this film crew.
So it's all like the neighborhood kids. Yeah, just eating waffles and sandwiches and stuff. Yeah,
exactly. Was this the first time or was this one of many times to come?
This was one of many times. We have a lot of film scouts come knocking on our door because my house was built in 1882 or 1892. So it's this huge old mansion. So we have a lot of film scouts that come. And they want to check out our apartment to film. So we've had Law and Order, an episode of Law and Order filmed in our living room. And so also this beer commercial. And I think one other thing has been filmed there, but I cannot recall what it was.
Would you say that even before that you were even born, your mother was getting jocked for filming? Or was it just something when Brooklyn became more of a desired filming location?
Yeah, when my mom moved into that house, it was not a good neighborhood at all. Yeah. Only very recently, since, you know, higher income people have been moving into the neighborhood, and it's become nicer with nicer grocery stores and nicer restaurants and all of this stuff and nicer neighbors and
gentrification.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Had film scouts knocking on our door and filming in neighbors' homes and, you know, in our neighborhood a lot,
especially since it's like where Spike Lee is from. So
yeah,
everyone's
exactly.
like, oh my God, we gotta go there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Chris
I had
Rock?
No concept of Brooklyn at all, really, when I first moved to the city, which was, incidentally, about at the same time that this was recorded. Moved to New York in 2005, and I was, like, visiting friends in Park Slope and in Borum Hill, and I was rehearsing for a show that was in Red Hook. So I had more or less half-baked experiences in the Brooklyn area, but they were just very limited because of the fact that I was living in Manhattan still. Yeah. I didn't move to Brooklyn until 2009. So my experiences in Brooklyn were few and far between, especially in non-Williamsburg. All right. And so in North Brooklyn, it was one thing. But
where in Manhattan were you living?
I was on the Upper East Side.
Pshaw. It's not like I was born on the Upper East Side. Sad.
Well, there was a reason why I was on the Upper East Side. My parents had agreed to hold it down for me and help me out financially for what was supposed to be actually about 4 to 6 months, and then I screwed the pooch and wasn't able to get a job in a decent amount of time, and then they helped me out for a year, and then I was on my own after that. At any rate, onwards and upwards. You've been lucky enough to come back, Kesley, to a house of such distinguished and historic nature that it has so many features in
it
media.
It does, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Plus, as well, one thing that he doesn't know about is all them crazy parties.
All them crazy parties and our Halloween. Our Halloween shows every year. I think our house is most famous not for being scouted for films and TV shows and commercials, but for doing this, like, this Halloween production. So, like, my mom literally built, with her crew, builds, like, this huge stage that now goes across our front yard and our neighbor's front yard. And every year they like, script and record and perform, like, a literal, true show. Like, musical production.
Remember that year that there was the spaceship on your lawn?
There was a spaceship, and, yeah.
It was a full-size spaceship. Like,
and
you
could go
not.
In it.
You could go inside of it.
And we did, you know, teenage things in spaceships, and it was fun. That was a good one. I think that was one of my favorite
teenage
ones.
Spaceship. Listen,
yes, teenage spaceship times. We
I'm we jealous. I am. I'm not in the bad way. I'm rather amused and envious because when I was younger, I always wanted to throw parties, and I just had to settle for going to all the kids' cool houses for parties. When did you start throwing parties?
My mom threw the first Halloween party before I was born. I've always remembered having parties at my house since I can't remember. Halloween parties every year after the production, and then we would have, like, birthday parties, and we would do a trailer trash party. Yeah, my mom's 50th birthday, it was her coronation, so everybody had to come in
regalia.
Yes, exactly, as royalty, and then for her 60th birthday, it was a 1960s-themed party, so we completely, like, redid the living room. And
being raised by somebody who enjoyed being a party host, Did that impress upon you that you could, obviously, as you grew older, go into that shoe and make it fit for your own personality?
Oh, yeah. I love having parties. It's all I want to do.
And I feel like this happens with a lot of groups of friends. There'll be a singular person who is the engine for all the friends.
Yeah.
And everyone knows that one person. And that person is the person that holds the whole group together.
Yeah.
Kesley's definitely that person.
Aww.
Among her friends. Yeah,
it's true. I've brought so many different groups of people together that would have not ever been together had I not had parties at my house.
Exactly. Much like the last guest that I brought on the show, Zach. It was exactly the same kind of person.
Exactly.
So these are the only guests that I bring on. This is good people.
That's cool.
That bring communities together.
Heck yeah.
I do relate to you a lot, Kesley, in that being a party host is something that you just sort of gravitate towards if you have a lot of friends that want to see you, but they don't know your friends otherwise. And so you play the facilitator, the man about town, the person about town, I should say, and connect everybody.
Heck yeah.
For example, I had a birthday party, I guess, 6 years ago, and managed to have such a successful birthday party that I am now in, I guess, a month or so, going to be marrying two of my friends that met at a party.
Oh, that is awesome.
A buddy of mine from high school and a girl that I met in college who I just stayed in touch with on social media, and she met my friend from high school, and they hit it off eventually. She moved out to Portland, Oregon to live with him. I've gotten my Universal Life Minister license. I'll be marrying them in Albany in August. But that's because I hosted the party and insisted, hey, you guys got to meet. There's more to the story, but that's really in essence what happened. And gosh, you know, one thing or another comes with the whole process of hosting a party. You were hosting these parties that your mother started.
I'm going to finish it.
Careful though. You don't want to ruin the place. No, kidding. There is a lot of people that you've probably met over the years, and you've had all the ways of connecting people yourself. What are the best memories you've had from a party that you have thrown at your
house? Oh man, which one? I think just one of
Than the teenage spaceship.
I forgot if it was one of my favorite memories of the parties is one of the parties that I threw in the summer. For whatever reason, both of my parents thought it was a good idea to leave me home alone when they were traveling. And I had high school kids from HSTAT, and I had Amy, my best friend, her friends from Bishop Ford.
Pause 1 second. Where was the first place you said? I'm familiar with Bishop Ford.
HSTAT is our high school, because I know Kesley from high school. HSTAT is the High School of Telecommunication and Technology.
Arts and technology. Okay.
Continue them.
Yeah, you're right.
Telecommunication arts.
Arts and technology. Yeah. Instead of being, it could have just been TAT, but I don't think they wanted it to be TAT, so it's HSTAT.
Our gang from high school and my friend.
It was not as tough as the Bloods.
Yeah. No, not that. Yeah.
Don't go there.
We were a special group. And then my friend Amy and her group from Bishop Ford, and then a bunch of my neighborhood friends that I had grown up with and her friends from Bard. You know, I'd invite everybody and they would invite people. And if you know anything about those three schools, you couldn't get more different kids. So having that mix of kids at a summer party with no parents. And I had quite a few of those parties. It was pretty good. I think that's my favorite memory of just
being out in the summer air, friends.
I remember we were cooking pancakes at 5 o'clock in the morning. It was the people. I think it really genuinely was the different groups of people. And we were all seamlessly, which was
great. That's the kind of party I would have loved to go to in high school.
It was so easy. It was just so easy being at that party.
I want to hear more Heineken. Give me more Heine. More Heine.
More Heine.
More Heine.
Send it my way.
What? Yeah, I know.
Damn it.
It kind of tastes a little weird, but...
No, it's really fucking weird.
Ow! Excuse me.
My hand gets me into his.
What?
Really?
I know, I really like this living room. I'm kind of... I like it.
Take a picture of it and make your mom make it.
I like those couches.
Wow.
The Christmas tree is definitely not justified in this house, though. Yeah.
Look at that. Delicious.
Is it real food?
Look at those potatoes.
I don't know.
Dude, I'm still trying
but it
to
looks
figure
good.
It out.
It's real.
It's all real?
Sure.
What do you guys do with it all when it's all finished?
Take it home, throw it away. Depends how good it gets nasty or that.
Oh, look, Gail, that's where the turkey is.
Well, first of all, what kind of phone was that? Because I want that phone ring. Second of all,
I still have that phone. Those
same
are landlines for you, man.
So you did get some of that.
Second question, around all this action with the film crews, did you ever have any interest in getting more involved in film?
The whole production part of it, yeah, not necessarily being in front of the camera or anything like that.
Of course. But just like seeing all the grips and all the best boys, etc.
Yeah, I've always really loved building stuff, and especially doing like the Halloween productions that we do, building like stage sets and props and stuff like that. I really love it. Like it's as a hobby. I would definitely do that. I've never considered it growing up as something that I would like to do for a living, but I definitely enjoyed it and I like doing it as a hobby. My, I guess, drama career ended in high school because we took drama class together.
Oh my God, that's right. That was a good class, but
yeah, I never actually did any production classes, which would have been fun to do in college, but I was just...
Yeah, we didn't have any in high school.
Nope, we just had drama, but no production, really.
Yeah, our school, what did it specialize in? Technology?
Nothing.
What did that mean? That meant four computers in the classroom that really jumped
yeah,
computers.
Yeah, we had to, like, share.
Like Windows 95.
Yeah, seriously, I don't think our school really...
Technology.
We had a dark room for, like, 2 years.
We did. No, that was cool. That was one of the only good things.
It was
and I did take
really
photography, and that was
useful
great.
To smoke weed in. That's my experience with that.
Oh, dark room.
Yeah. I didn't do anything
the
else
various
in school.
Things you could do in the dark room.
Oh, dark room.
So I dabbled in acting and theater in high school, and then that was other than just, you know, building sets and props. During my life, that was
so. We got one more clip here from this Heineken shoot. I got to get this off my chest. I got to make it happen.
One?
It's I don't know if it is. I don't remember.
Oh.
This one. But we got to extinguish this and we got to change gears.
Yes.
So let's take a listen.
There's gonna be mad bitches. Tell me why, when I went to Mandy's, they fucking hounded me like a dog.
Who?
This is Melinda.
Yo, who are these people?
Are they leaving you the drapes?
My mom's asking for the drapes.
That'd be awesome.
This is insane.
Is there dinner here?
Sure. Yeah.
So you get free meals all day?
Yeah. Pretty much. Word?
Oh my gosh.
I just think the best thing is that the only thing you fixate on the film shoot is that you're getting
free food. I literally...
Who's like, yo, you really get three balanced meals all day?
All day?
You got food all day?
I just pretty much sat there and ate all day. Like, me and that chef were like hella tight.
Honestly, when I was on a film set, the few times that I did before I decided that I didn't like lifting things... And I was shirking work. I do remember eating a lot of sandwiches.
They had like fresh strawberries, yo. Was legit.
Yeah, no, there are some. It depends on, you know, if they got the good one. But.
Yeah, no, that was a good set. That was a really good one. Mad bitches for whatever reason.
Yeah, I love that. Mad bitches. Yeah. Like what? Like where? As you can tell, Kesley was a tomboy when we were growing up.
Very big tomboy.
There's some videos that I couldn't use because the audio was not the focal point, and the focal point was Kesley beating up guys.
Yeah, there's two videos of
there's
that.
There's a couple of videos of her tearing dudes to pieces. And,
instant crush.
Wrestling champ.
Yeah, instant crush on you. That's all.
He Yeah, I could beat up some dudes in my day. Did I beat you up?
You never
Jimmy?
Beat me up. And I think it's because I never wanted to fight you because I knew better.
I think we were like the same size then, though. Like, easily.
Yes. Am I bigger than you now? I don't
I think you're taller.
Okay.
I think my dream girl was Lindsay Weir for like a hot second.
Who's Lindsay Weir?
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't. Is this a fighter?
Freaks and Geeks.
Oh, I love her. Yeah, I could definitely. Yeah, I was a little bit of her. They called me Donna Pinciotti in high school. I think that was...
Hold on a second.
Best comparison.
What was the name?
Donna Pinciotti? You don't know that name?
Like from that 70s show? Donna.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that was her name.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Was it Pinciana?
Pinciotti. Yeah.
She, okay.
You know that actress went to...
No, of course I know Laura Prepon.
She went to the karaoke that I was at. One night. I don't think you were there. I don't think
don't
you were there.
Bring that up.
Night.
Don't bring that up.
Do you like? Do you always regret not being there that night?
I took her photo.
You weren't there.
Sorry, bro. You weren't there.
I'm just.
I took her photo. I started following her on Twitter. I, you know, maybe wrote her some very creepy letters. No, I did none of that kind.
I definitely
followed her on Twitter. But
I tried to be a jerk to her. I do remember that. I think it was.
Why would you try to be a jerk? Okay. I like to bring it back here because why would you?
This is something.
Try? Is it like trying to put on a show when you're younger that you have to, as you've made clear, Jimmy, in the past, force the animosity to prove your worth?
It was a thing. It was a thing, especially when I was growing up, that I had this high and mighty Brooklyn attitude. Oh, you're famous?
100%.
Well, I'm from Brooklyn. I don't know if you're from Brooklyn, but where are we right now? We're in Brooklyn. So how's about you ain't so famous? How's about I'm the famous one? How's about everybody in here knows me and we don't know you? So it was. I definitely remember.
100%.
I never remember trying.
You shared that same quality, I suppose, Kesley?
Oh, yeah. I mean, growing up in Brooklyn, you see a lot of famous people. And for some whatever reason, I don't know, you're just like, well, I'm from Brooklyn. It doesn't matter how famous you are. Are you from Brooklyn?
Exactly. I'd always wanted to meet her. She was one of the few people that I'd wanted to meet.
Yeah, I would like to still meet her.
Because I had a crush on her when I was in high school and stuff.
Of course.
You know? And then I saw her in real life. And if you're listening, Laura Prepon, I'm sorry. Maybe it's that she didn't have the red hair anymore. She dyed her hair black. Orange the New but Black, and like I just
it's different.
It took away the magic.
Yeah,
I saw her, 100%. And I just was.
You're
was
a real just, human being. Yeah. You're not Donna Pinciotti.
I got to get this off my chest right now, but I just found it really compelling that I didn't know anything about Orange is the New Black until I saw it being filmed around Brooklyn. And then when I found out that Laura Prepon was attached to it and then she had black hair, I thought, oh, so is her like changing her hair color a sort of a metaphor for the way
Orange is the New Black. Yeah. Wow. I didn't even think about that.
That was the first thing that came to my mind. And I was like, this can't be a coincidence. No.
It's pretty
funny.
Come on. Yeah, right.
Anyway, it's
a better name for the show than like, now I wear glasses.
Now I wear glasses.
She wears glasses.
Yeah.
Now
I wear black
rim
glasses.
This is black horn rim glasses. The
exactly.
show.
Exactly.
Answer this for me, because I find that the whole "I'm from Brooklyn" argument relatively. No, I find that relatively sound. But then, if I was from Queens, I would say, "Well, I'm from Queens."
You don't count.
Or, "Well, I'm from Staten Island."
No, if you're from Queens, like, you'd say, "I'm from New York."
I'm from the Bronx. You don't fuck with me because I'm from the Bronx.
Yeah, there's a big Bronx v. Brooklyn, right? And Brooklyn's
well,
better.
That's just the classic. But you know what? The other day, there was a friend of mine, and he reinforced something that I'd heard before, and I didn't realize that Brooklyn does carry a little more weight in the city. I was in Harlem, and I was doing a show, and then when I was coming up on stage, they were like, "Yo, watch out, this dude's from Brooklyn." And he was saying it to people, like everyone in Harlem. And I was up on like 119th. And it was
like, what?
Yeah, I was like, I'm the tough guy around here.
I'm
all right.
All
cool.
Right, I'm going to do this.
Whatever you say. Yeah. And then I had another friend of mine from Harlem. And he goes, "Yo, when I go to Brooklyn, man, I got to watch out. They could smell Harlem on me. They know."
There's a thing,
I ain't tough
man.
Like
There's
that.
There's a thing. There's a, you know, Brooklyn versus Bronx. It's very real, very present. And I'm proud to be from Brooklyn.
Well, Brooklyn's the one that people know.
People are like, you know, living in Denver, people are like, "Oh, are you from Manhattan?" And I was like, "No. I'm from Brooklyn."
No, sweetie.
Let's get this.
No, sweetie.
Or they would always say the Bronx, and I'm like, "No. It's Brooklyn."
Yeah. Why did you move back?
Because Denver got expensive and it sucks.
And school was over too.
And school, and I graduated. So I forget about that part.
See, the best thing about the Bronx is obviously I'm a Yankee fan. I know that Kesley's not a Yankee fan. We're not even getting into that.
But let's not.
We're not. But
let's keep our
the
friendship
best thing
civil.
About the Bronx is that you can say you're from the boogie down Bronx, basically. That's really great. It's really great. You can say I'm from the boogie down. It's all you need to say. You don't even need to say Bronx. I'm from the boogie down. It's like, damn, that's smooth. I guess you could say you're from Crooklyn when you're from Brooklyn.
I'm from Crooklyn.
But then you're like telling people that you break the law. So
pretty much, yeah. Like, I don't want to let anybody
gray
know
areas.
That.
Yeah, it's gray areas. Yeah. So speaking of gray areas, we're gonna.
What, you mean the one on your head?
Damn.
Yeah, Jimmy's got some grays, man.
I got a lot of grays. You do dig it?
I dig it. I like it a lot.
I maintain that it's because I'm Puerto Rican.
Go for it.
Puerto Rican people, we go gray, and I'm not gonna dye it.
Don't.
Never gonna see that.
Don't do that.
I'm on 50% right now. You're rocking like a solid 50%
silver
gray.
Spanish fox.
Yeah, it's I don't know how it's happened, but it has happened.
This is a proven thing of the biology, and depending on whether your mother or your father had the recessive gene, because you have dark hair, some kids, even when they're younger, especially men, really, they have dark hair with some like white or some silver streaks, basically. Kind of like a silverback gorilla kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Or like Rogue from X-Men.
Yeah, you're totes
right.
Rogue.
Yeah.
Well, another similar thing is like if you like have a thumb that bends back, or if you have a crest in your forehead.
Widow's Peak. Yeah.
Widow's Peak.
I know what you're talking about, for sure.
Right. So same thing with your hair. I don't know what it is. It's been 20 years since I've taken biology. It feels like I don't remember.
It's either that or the fact that I'm constantly crunching, mind-numbing, you know, questions about the world. And my brain is on overdrive. I'm aging myself, yeah, because I just can't stop thinking about all the important issues in the world. Like, where am I going to catch a Mewtwo? Like, where is it going to happen?
I was just going to say that.
I'm telling you, man.
You have to go to Japan. That is just the way it is.
I hope it can actually happen for me.
Not before she goes to Indonesia.
True.
Yeah.
All right. So we got another clip here, and we want to make sure we get this one in too, because this is I think this might be my favorite of all the clips that we found. And this one is a different one, and I'll preface it. It's on the roof of a friend of ours from high school.
Yes.
And it's just people just kind of sitting around, hanging out on the roof, the way that we do. Just. But very silly stuff, and it's definitely dated because the guy talks about a TV show when it was new.
It was brand new.
And I guess he was very excited about it before it got really bad. So let's take a listen to this one.
Oh, don't talk about it, because I don't think that. You said that it happened quickly. I was so lost.
The beginning, it says... In the beginning, it says previews about heroes. There's showing you clips of the people who have the superpowers.
If you watch it, you can piece it together.
And they say, if you didn't, and then what they start saying, what they start saying.
The relationship between the characters.
No, what they start saying is that every human. They start saying that every human is not the same.
They start saying something about cheerleader.
Why do you have to leave? Then they start saying, save the cheerleader, save the world. And as they say that, they show you little glimpses of this guy who has the cheerleader, but she gets saved by someone. And then there's Hiro Nakamada. Hiro Nakamada sound like this. And the reason why he's a geek because he left his job in Japan. And one of the guys is featuring the world ending, the world ending, because we didn't say the cheerleader. So Hiro Nakamada goes over to the future of New York. And Hiro Nakamada gets and he meets himself. Hiro Nakamada. And Hiro Nakamada sees himself. And after he sees himself, he asks some questions and he notices that, like, the world is not the same and they're chasing the future. Hiro Nakamada. And he's just a samurai because he's a samurai sword, amplifies his powers. Yo, you gotta watch it. Hiro. It comes on Tuesdays at 9 on NBC.
I don't know. My daddy.
I'm her father.
What?
I'm her father.
He's my father.
I'm her father.
Hi.
He is her mother.
Happy Saturday.
I'm the gay uncle.
I want to be gay uncle. That's awesome.
Can you be the gay aunt?
No, uncle. I'm Batman.
Just Kung Fu fight.
I have the tattoo.
But I'm Robin.
Yeah. I'm still a guy, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yo, let's drop it like a thought. Someone start the rhyme. Yo, car number 9, bust the rhyme.
That means you start.
Someone, no, started. Someone starts
Why are you
it.
All of a sudden,
huh?
Walking down the street, something caught my eye.
Why
met this
listening
new person who had a little
music.
Disguise. I said, yo, shorty, why you so fly? Had to drop the this is why
he
I'm heat by. I touched
penny,
the sky, smoked a blunt, then smoked a J. Walked around and said, hey, hey.
Yo. Steven, you're like a white kid rapping.
Is that really black? Say you're Jimi Hendrix.
Hey, hey,
hey. I dropped the whole beat. It's the whole verse.
That's what I'm saying.
Drop a chorus. Drop a chorus.
That's done.
That
what?
I got a rhyme first.
What was that?
A rhyme, bitch.
By the bay, eating watermelon.
Eating watermelon.
By the bay, eating watermelon. I wish I didn't get cut off there because, damn, that's like that's a baller ass start
going.
To a rhyme.
Yeah, that's what we did all the time. We would just.
So yeah, that was our mutual friend Steven that mm-hmm. was mostly talking in that clip.
Yeah.
Wait, that song. That's a song. I totally know that song. That I think I mentioned last week how I didn't know a lot of children's songs, but I do remember one song in particular called Down by the Bay.
Of course, Down by the Bay, where the watermelon grows. Mm-hmm. Well, that's why, yeah, he was calling out that
Back
song.
To my
but that's
home,
a great.
I do not know,
damn,
but if I do, my mother would say, Have you ever seen a lion eating with eating while crying or something?
Down
like
by
that.
The bay.
Down by the bay.
Yeah, no, that's an amazing reference that he made.
I can't believe
considering
that
how old you guys were.
Picked that out from that because I was just I would have not.
Yo, down by the bay, I'm eating watermelon. Like yo, he maybe Steven should be a rapper. What is he doing now? Because you still keep in touch with him,
designing
right?
Designing and making clothing right now.
True.
I heard a Busta Rhymes reference in there too.
No, he said Busta Rhyme.
He's gonna.
He
Busta
said
Rhyme.
He said car number 9 Busta Rhyme. Which meant that you have to start
rhyming
at that point. That's where everyone starts rapping.
Yeah.
It was the call out.
Was he freestyling at all?
He was freestyling
he
everything.
He freestyled a lot.
And it was, he basically, no one was picking it up.
No, because.
And then he was just like, forget it. I'll just do it for you guys. And he just laid it down.
Every time my friends try and get me to freestyle, I'm just like, you need to go the other way.
Yeah, like he just asked you in the clip.
I'm going to pass it back to you.
He asked you in the clip and you're like, you look at him and you go, rhyme?
You want me to rhyme?
You want me to rhyme?
Right now? I've never been able to do that. I'm not going to start.
Pretty hilarious. I like how he as well did it. Like he was doing an advertisement for the TV show.
That's Steven.
He's a super hilarious guy.
He's very funny. Yeah.
He was in was he in the school play with me too? Wasn't he?
Which one?
In Summer Night's Dream.
Maybe.
That's how you know everybody.
I was
how you know everybody.
He definitely worked on it at some point.
Yeah.
Did something.
Yeah, for sure.
Does he still have a blonde mohawk?
Yes, I think so.
How do you rock a blonde mohawk for a decade?
Very well.
For a decade?
Very well.
He's had this blonde mohawk forever, man.
It's
what kind of mohawk is it?
It's a frohawk.
It's a fro. Yeah. It's just.
It's not a blonde.
It's a blonde frohawk. Yeah, he's not blonde. He definitely
he's
is not blonde.
Not naturally blonde, no.
It's a frohawk. It's a blonde, spiky frohawk.
He rocks it.
So he dyed it, mm-hmm. and then he put it into a mohawk.
Well, I guess
really
you don't. When
you guys are lost and rewound now because we're just talking and gossiping about this person.
Steven would, I'm sure he would come on the show.
He would 100%.
And he's still in Brooklyn, so why not?
And I'm sure he has plenty of old videos.
When was the last time you saw him? Have you seen him since he been back?
I saw him at my mom's 60th 1960s decade party, which was the last time I saw you.
Yes.
Yes.
Was I dressed up or probably not?
You were dressed up as. A bum. No, I'm just kidding.
See me in my normal attire. Fantastic.
So he didn't come dressed up, is what you're saying.
I feel like I didn't come dressed up.
You did not. You were not dressed up, which is fine. It's okay.
Dressed up as Pokey from Gumby to a Halloween party.
That's a
so
good one.
I know that he could dress up if he really wants.
I do have a picture of Jimmy dressed up at one of my parties.
Yeah, she's got a picture of me dressed up as a woman.
Yes.
One of the many times I dressed up as a woman. this was not my award-winning performance
no,
as a woman.
But it was. It was was an okay one. It was good.
I don't think you're supposed to win an award for cross-dressing, but, I mean, all the power to you.
Did we not talk about this? Has this not been talked about?
It should be.
Because now it's out there on the airwaves, on the radio.
I think Zach actually won an award.
He did, too. We won the same award because you guys are different years than I am.
Yeah, but it was a senior trip.
So it was on the senior trip.
Which I was really pissed about because I thought I made an amazing guy.
You didn't win?
No,
I didn't place?
I don't know.
I did the crip walk and everything. No offense, Kesley. No offense, Kesley, but you would make a good guy.
I would make an amazing guy.
You're tough.
I'm not taking offense to that.
Tough. You've got, like, shoulders.
I do. I've got big, broad swimmer shoulders. So, I'd be a good dude. I mean, I was a tomboy growing up.
So basically the deal was, and I don't know why, this is something that they have recurring for high school students.
Yeah.
But we went on this senior trip to some ranch with no animals.
It was a teenager ranch.
So I don't remember what we ended up doing there, really. It was a lot of fun.
It was so
fun.
We
hung out in a hotel.
In like dorms and stuff?
I don't even remember.
I just remember like getting ready to become a dude.
There were some games.
For this.
Yeah. And then at some point they were like, there's going to be a drag show. And I'm like, okay. It's like very New York. High school. So we're like, drag show, great. And then everyone comes to me, like out of nowhere, like everyone, like hundreds of people in the class are like, yo, Jimmy, like you're gonna do it? And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? And because I had longer hair at the time.
You did.
I didn't have a beard and I'm pretty, like a lady.
You're very pretty.
So I had like a whole dream team of people dolling me up. And again, Kesley wasn't there because Kesley's a year younger than I am.
Yeah.
And so was Zach as well.
I missed that. I was so upset that I missed that.
And then they dolled me up. And then we had a competition against like five other high schools that were there with us. And I got first place. I got very first place.
That's awesome.
If you're going to do it, you got to do it right. You know? I won money.
I can't believe I didn't win. I was so mad.
I won $100.
I did the crip walk and everything.
I bent over to pick a pen up.
Yeah, you did.
I bent over to pick a pen up. And
the bend and snap.
Yeah, I did the bend and snap. And I just, no, that's all I did. I walked literally like I was going to do a runway walk. I went to the end of the runway. I dropped a pen. I picked it up. I walked back. That was it. That was all
I
needed.
That's beautiful. That deserves first place. 100%.
It was like mic drop. Except pen drop.
Pen drop.
And then but I definitely had some cushion. Like they built me a little butt.
I taped my boobs down.
Yeah, they made me a little butt.
I don't know whose boxers.
And then I do remember the worst part of it was when I was walking to go to the competition, and every single person from my school class was hooting and hollering at me.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they were trying to grab handfuls of my junk.
Now you know how it feels.
I felt like
a woman for a moment. Yeah,
and,
exactly.
It was horrifying. I really.
That's what I have to deal with every day, Jimmy.
It was awful.
Now you know how it feels.
It was awful, honestly.
Too much attention. Too sexy.
You understand the suffering that occurs on a daily basis.
But the topper was we decided to see how far we could go with it because I thought it was pretty hilarious. The thing that really made it to me that I didn't seem as convincing is my hair wasn't super long. It was just long enough. So they gave me kind of like 20s flapper hair. It looked like I had hair like a grandma would have. That to me was like a girl my age would not have hair like that. But what I did, and I wouldn't shave my legs or anything like that. Like I was not going to deal with that itchiness. No, I didn't do anything.
Well, then you didn't go all the way then.
Well, I didn't. You're right. I was wearing a dress, so you could see my legs.
I put on fake beard.
But I said, everyone leave me. And I'm going to stand by myself in this place where all the schools would congregate.
Yeah.
And let me just wait and see if a dude hits on me.
No.
Like, let's just see how this thing really is going to work. Because people were saying, oh, you don't not look like a woman. You just look like an ugly chick. It's not like you look like a dude. You just look like an ugly chick. So I was like, wow, that is
thanks.
Somewhat. Yeah, I was like, okay, I guess I'm somewhat convincing. And then a dude did. A guy came over,
and he
started talking to me. And then I said,
"He sure did."
And then he said, "What's your name?" And I said, "Jimmy."
and then
he booked it. It was the best thing ever.
I was just gonna say, I think I literally remember him telling me that when he came back from the senior trip.
I was proud of it. It was fun.
I think that was the moment when my class went. I decided. I obviously have to do this. How many times do you get to do this, really? I remember going up to Naya and her group of friends. Oh my God, I forgot their names, but they were totally kids I didn't even hang out with. And I was like, I need to borrow your clothes and I need cornrows and I need like eyeliner to do like a fake beard and stuff like that.
So it looked like a hood dude though.
Yeah, I looked like a hood dude. Yeah, so I got cornrows because my hair was like down on my shoulders. So the girls cornrowed my hair, and then they did like the fake beard. And then we got tape, and we taped my boobs down, and I got like a wife beater, and then I got like blue plaid boxers and like somebody's pants, like maybe like John's pants or somebody.
Yeah, the girl who won in my year was Jackie. Remember Jackie from the plays?
Yeah, she was a. That makes sense.
And I told you she's going to get married to Anthony from the plays.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, well, she was an actress, so I'm going to.
Yeah, true enough.
True enough. Both the actors in the class won. So seeing as I was not one of the actors. But it was disappointing. It was disappointing that I didn't win first. I thought I had a real awesome crip walk, but apparently I didn't. I think
you ranked pretty high.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, the girl I think that won, she did something pretty dope. I think she had some like dope dance moves.
Word up.
Yeah, no. Then the three guys that were with me was like Zach and John and Lennox, and they were my bitches.
But Zach had a giant beard. I remember.
Yeah, that's
still.
The thing.
That's what
Zach
was great.
Had really long hair and a beard for days. But he wore a dress.
And he was huge and muscular.
And he had chest hair.
Yeah, he was really really burly. So he was just a giant burly guy dressed
as
a woman.
He was in a dress with like chest hair coming out.
I think he won because it was so ridiculous.
Because it was so ridiculous. Yeah. It's like obviously you're a guy and you're wearing a dress, and he had like heels on. It was pretty impressive.
This is a pageant that your old high school would do every year, and they probably still do it, or they started doing it while you were there, or it was just a tradition that would occur annually, and boys and girls would both get involved and dress up as the other gender.
Mind you, this is a decade ago, so they may have changed where they go to school.
I don't think they probably do that
anymore. Do you think it could successfully occur in the climate that we live in right now?
Absolutely.
In New York City?
In New York City alone, yeah.
In Kentucky?
Alabama?
Possibly not. I think if people take it too seriously, like anything, it can get taken out of context.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so it was just jokes.
I mean, as teenagers, it's fun, and it's an outlet, and it was just something fun to do, and everybody enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Everybody loved it. It was so much fun.
All right, so this last clip, our mutual friend Amy, from her birthday, Kesley says something poignant.
Oh, God.
I'm scared.
Make sure you get a picture of the cake, right? Because then you forget the wish.
I'm recording it,
right?
You're
recording with us. Yeah. Next time, we're ready to have a song by someone who can sing.
Yeah. Happy birthday. Born Compliano. What day? Born Compliano. What day?
You're ruining it. What is that? Yeah, but you can't do Bon Compleanno.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Bon is it's recording.
Say happy birthday.
It's what?
We're not doing that.
It's recording. So
we're ready. Let's get on with it.
Blow out, bitch! Blow out! Blow out! Blow out!
They're just lining back up.
Yep.
I don't remember on Sunday in the kindergarten.
Let's point and laugh.
Oh, you got three more to go.
You don't know it. Woo!
So she was blowing out the candles on her cake and couldn't blow them out because they were trick candles. And everyone was laughing at her. And Kesley goes, "Let's point and laugh." And then you can hear that they audibly get louder laughing, and it's like really comical, like hammy, like laughing.
That was me.
How long ago was that?
This one was a year after the first clips we heard. That clip is from 8 years ago.
So then I was probably like at Brooklyn College then or something. Yeah, not my whole college career was in Denver.
Were you using to record these videos? What was these?
Yeah, what was that? It must have been like my a real camera, not
it
like
it seems
on my
like
phone.
It was an actual camcorder.
An old actual like legit VHS based video that you made.
Yeah, like the little tiny, where like the little tiny cassette tapes are like
got it.
One yeah. inch, probably, yeah, because we used to film a lot of that.
It seems yeah. she digitized this stuff so that she could put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like.
I think I did have all of this old stuff on YouTube, and yeah. then I can't find it anymore.
What
I don't
was
know what
so important about capturing these moments for you?
I think growing up in the time that I did with the technological advances, going from old school VHS recorders to like these little tinier cameras and tinier cameras and tinier cameras, and then they're on your phone. Like, I was just obsessed with using the technology to record this, and it's like I can literally record every moment of my life, so I'm gonna do it, and I did, and now I can put it up on the internet.
Well, it's nice to have that stuff looking back on it now.
It is, but cool. Yeah, exactly. And then it got to though for me like to a point where I was just like, all I'm doing is looking through a screen in my life. So, but it's nice to have, like, it's weird, like I've forgotten these memories. It's nice to actually have them and be able to remember them.
Did you ever feel the need to record the debauchery at any one of the parties that occurred at your residence?
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's lots of record of the debauchery.
We've got it on record here.
Yeah, probably more in photo form. Okay. I'm sure somebody has a recording somewhere.
I was going to say.
I don't have it.
I wonder the difference in terms of capturing memories on still image versus video image. I feel like from my own experiences, when I look back at videos from parties, maybe it just mm-hmm. needs to gestate for a longer period of time. Because if I'm going to a party and recording something really funny, like in college, for example, when I did that all the time with my shitty roommates in junior year, mm-hmm. and we look back at it the next day,
yeah,
and it just was like, meh, whatever. We were like stupid for doing that. If I looked at that now, though, goodness.
It would be like...
mortified, but in the best ways possible.
Yeah, no, exactly. I almost wished that the amount of pictures that I took back then, those were all videos instead. Because, like, listening to these videos now, like, I'm like, that's me? That's what my voice sounded like? And you just to hear people's voices, which you don't in a picture, obviously. And there's so many aspects to videos that you don't get in a picture, and it brings back more memories, like just the trigger of somebody's voice or the trigger of somebody's laugh. The video of us on the roof, like you hear a plane going over it, and I just like, and it brought back so many memories of spending so many afternoons after school on a roof or in a park, you know, and doing teenage stuff.
Jimmy, she's a good one. Bring her back.
Oh, thanks. This is one of my best friends. One of my best friends.
I really dig that direction that awesome. You take with the way you live your life. Because
thanks.
If only more folks like you in your age group, to be perfectly honest with you, existed to allow more footage out there. There is such a dying breed of folks who actually care enough to hold on to what is truly the most dear and sensitive documentation.
Oh yeah.
That exists.
Oh yeah. I'm sure if I went back on my old computers, we could find some real ridiculous stuff. That would be awesome.
I love this. This was great. Thank you for coming on the show and for keeping the seat warm while I'm out in bloody England.
Well, thank you so much, Alon, for coming to us all the way across this world of ours. You know? This is the first international episode we've had, I think, right?
This is fun.
Yeah, in this iteration. Yeah, Ben Anderson in our original iteration of Lost and Rewound, the podcast version, did in fact call from Australia, and we did have Josh Telson a few times calling from Germany. Super late, I mind you.
Yeah, yeah.
My wife is totally, like, passed out, and I think she's about to stab me in the head for keeping her awake while doing this interview. So,
well, this is our time to sign off, then. Guys, make sure to listen to us. Again, this is Lost and Rewound. My name is Jimmy Hoffman.
And I am Alon Danziger.
Nice.
Kesley, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you, guys.
Today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, guys, that's every Thursday at 3 p.m. right here on Radio Free Brooklyn.
See you next week.
Where, oh, where is Carmen Sandiego? Oh, I totally realized that I had the AC on this whole time.
I was trying to give you the...
That you got the AC on you this got whole the timeline. AC
time, yeah.
All right, we really should start...
It's been 5 minutes recording, so we're totally good.
You got it, Jimmy.
So Jimmy's on the switch.
We got it. You can do it.